when Jerome kind of cuts loose a little bit, and maybe he gets us all a little bit cutting loose some. And, you know, I can't impress upon you enough that God loves to hear you singing. He loves to hear your voice. And you may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but that doesn't matter to God. He wants to hear your praises. He wants to hear you talking about him. He loves you. He cares about you. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. You may feel like God doesn't care, but he does. He loves you. He cares about you. And that's the expression of that. And here's the deal. Sometimes he will use a desert to get a hold of you. He will use a mountain to get a hold of you. Remind you that, hey, I'm right here. I'm with you. I'm in the thick of whatever it is you're going through this morning or whatever it is you're facing in life. And the good thing is that every person in this room has gone through some difficulties. And maybe you're not going through it right now, but guess what? It may be coming. And I'm just telling you right now, there are people in this church, they understand what it means to walk through a desert, to walk and face a mountain, to deal with the issue and know that Jesus is living inside of them and he's victorious. I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of all the junk mail. How about you? You know? I thought that stuff would all die as soon as email stuff. And emails, it's like your trash is filled with email stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh, what is this? And I was out of town on Monday. I went down to Atlanta, left on Sunday and spent a night with my daughter and surprised one of my grandchildren who's in college. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm old enough to have a kid in college. But Kelly and I got married when we were 12. So... It was in Kentucky, so, you know, it didn't matter. I'm joking. I hope you got that. But the reality is that it was fun to be away, but when I got home, there was a bunch of mail laying there, you know, and I was looking at it, and the first envelope I went to was where someone had handwritten the address to me, and it was to me. Isn't that the letters you like to open best? I mean, you know, all that other stuff just goes to, there's a round big bucket outside our house that it just goes into because it's just trash. But those letters that we get from folks, and this was a, you know, a type letter so I could read everything. But if you get a note from me, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, what is he saying? I can't read this. It was a letter from a good friend of ours, Kelly and I's, back in California. They were just bringing us up to date on some things that were going on in their family, share with us a couple of burdens and that sort of thing. But it's always good to get news from people like that, isn't it? Those are fun things to get. This letter that we're studying in the book of called the Book of Philippians is a letter. It's a letter to a church. And Paul writes to people he cares about and he's concerned for. And we started this study last week. We began, kicked it off there, but we looked in Philippians chapter 2. And in there what we learned is this, is that in all of your relationships, have the mind of Christ. And what did Christ do? This is what we learned last week. Jesus Christ humbled himself. And because Jesus humbled himself, God exalted or lifted him up. And so in every relationship, that's what we learned last week, in all of your relationships with one another, humble yourself and let God exalt you. And what we've discovered in relationships many times is I want to express my opinion first. I want my way to be done first. Why? Because I'm smart. And I'm, you know, I've got a college education. I've got a doctorate, all that good stuff, you know. I've got all that. So I got all this information. But the reality is in every relationship, the best thing we can do is to humble ourselves, empty ourselves, and try to serve the other person. And we discover in doing that, we're imitating Christ. And so throughout this letter to the church at Philippi, Paul and Timothy are writing this. Paul's writing this letter, and he's expressing to them this ideal. In every relationship, if you will humble yourself, God will lift you up. And so the body of Christ is called to this. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to look at this in chunks. So just start with the salutation. So this is a letter written by Paul. So it begins, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul begins this letter very much like any letter that would have been written in this particular time frame. You can go back and, if you're a history buff, you can go back and find historical letters that were written to different people. And they begin with the idea, the first letter, first name is the person who's writing. This is, it's from me, and It's to, who is it to? It's always written to something. If you read the book of Luke, when you open up the book of Luke, it's written to a person. He's writing a letter to a person. I want you to know, lover of God, this is the truth of everything that I've discovered. So Paul is writing to a church, and he begins the letter with Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. That word in the Greek is actually the word for slave. It's a slave. It's the idea. Paul is saying, I am a slave of Christ Jesus. Now, we especially in the United States, we have a difficulty with that word right there. And the reality is because a slave, at one point in time in this nation, a slave was a person who was property of another individual. And as property, you have no other rights. You are property. You can be dealt with as property. And so we read that word, and all the lights are on. But here's the deal. Jesus, Paul is saying, I have surrendered my life, and I am a slave to Jesus Christ. What his mission is more important than my mission. What his desire is more important than my desires. I want to do everything I can to serve Christ. Why? Because Christ did everything he could to serve me. Christ humbled himself. So even as the letter begins, Paul is speaking to the church and saying, listen, I've understood what it means to follow Christ. It means I have to humble myself before the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to put myself at the low. I have to say, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. But then what does he call them? He says, to all God's holy people. In other translations, that word would be translated as saints. You are a saint. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, you're a saint. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are a saint. And you say, hold on, wait, I'm not Mother Teresa. I'm not all, you know, those, I'm not these people. No, I'm not all that. Guess what? You became a saint because of what Christ did, not because of something you did, not because of all your work and labor and that sort of thing, but because of what Christ did in your life. You became a saint. He has made you holy. But look at what Paul's doing. He's beginning this letter, and what does he say? I am a slave of Christ. You are saints of Christ. What is he doing? He's demonstrating to them the humility that every one of us ought to have. He's calling us to humility, even in his opening lines. He's telling us a lot of what's going to happen throughout the whole letter. We can already pick up that, listen, in order for the body of Christ to exalt and glorify God, we've got to serve one another. We've got to humble ourselves in every relationship. It means we have to go low and we serve the other person. It's as though we're in this contest, and I know some of you really are competitive. It's as though we're in this contest to see who can serve best. Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus told his disciples when they were arguing about who is the greatest in the kingdom of God. What did he say? He said, the one who serves best is the greatest in the kingdom of God. He's called us to serve one another. And Paul is reminding us, even in his salutation, even in his opening greetings of just this is what this letter is all about. And then he says, grace and peace to you from our God and Father and the Lord. Who's the master of the slave? Jesus is. Jesus is his master. Now, I don't want to be your slave. Okay? I'm not interested in being somebody else's slave. But Paul gets it. I'm willing to be the slave of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he loved me. He demonstrated his love to me. How did he do that? He came from heaven, and he came down, and he became a man just like me. And he became a man that was without sin, not like me. And he died for my sins. He got low in order that I might be exalted. He emptied himself so that you and I could have a relationship with God. Paul said, listen, if somebody loves me that much, I'm willing to be their slave. Because I know, first of all, he's victorious over everything. When God raised him from the dead, he demonstrated his victory over everything. So if I'm his slave, that means I'm going to win. I'm going to be part of the victorious. I'm going to be part of the group who celebrates at the end of time. I'm going to be celebrating with Christ in heaven when I die. There's going to be this. I can celebrate now. That's why one of the reasons why I know I'm a singer. I love music. Well, maybe I'm a singer, okay? But I'm a musician. I like music, and I find joy in that, and I'm going to keep badgering a little bit. But the reality is that God loves to hear your praises. He loves to hear your voice. You may not like it. And if you're getting any grief from somebody sitting with you, you tell them, hey, Pastor Ken told me I need to sing. Okay? And just don't take any stuff from them. Okay? He also begins this letter with the idea of grace and peace. He says, grace is one of those words that almost, if you look at, again, historically, if you look at letters in this time frame, one of the first words that came out of in most letters is grace to you. It was a Greek concept of grace to you. And Paul uses that, but he also says grace and peace. And not just the kind of grace and peace that comes because, hey, we love each other, we got a relationship. You know, when I opened up that letter, when I got from John and Bonnie Crum this past week, when I opened up that letter and looked at it, you know, they didn't begin the letter with grace and peace to you, but I knew that they loved me, they cared about me. Why? Because they took the time to write a letter. They took the time to take some invest in it and that sort of thing. And they were expressing a concern for us and praying for us and that sort of thing. And there's this idea of grace. But Paul is saying grace and peace to you, what? From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is this whole idea of this is not the kind of grace and peace that the world offers. You know, right now, with what's going on in the news, and we see what's happening in Syria and then in other things that have been happening around the planet, we understand that peace is very fragile, and it's a brokered peace at best. But God offers us a grace and peace that says, look, in spite of what you're facing, I've been victorious. I am victorious, and you're going to live through this. You're going to be victorious in the midst of this. Then he goes on in verse 3. Let's read the next part of this. In verse 3 he says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is reminding us of a promise there when he says that he's going to accomplish this. I love part of this, too, is he's giving us a picture of unity. I don't know if you know this, but Paul's from the South. Did you know that? Because every time he says, remember you, he's actually saying in the Greek, it's a plural. So it's actually like, says, I thank my God every time I remember y'all. You know, in all my prayers for all of y'all, I always pray with joy because of y'all's partnership with us. You know, that he who began a work in y'all will carry it on to completion to the day of Christ. Now, I know that in the Greek, you're not seeing that. I mean, when it's translated like this, you're not seeing that. But all those are plural. What's the picture here? He's not talking to just an individual. He's talking to every person in that church. Earlier he said, I want to address the saints and the overseers and deacons. He's saying, listen, I'm not just talking to the people who are, quote, in charge. I'm not just talking to people who are the administrators of the church, so to speak, or the leaders of the church. I'm talking to everyone. I want everyone to hear this message. And again, why is that so critical? Because we discovered that in the midst of all this, it's this idea of unifying us and giving us unity as the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. He says, I always pray with joy. I always pray with joy. That's his go-to response when he begins to pray for this church in Philippi. I always pray with joy. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is saying, listen, you're one of the few churches that's been hanging with me. Your partnership means something. It's as though we are doing this together. You say, hold on, wait, Paul's in prison in another part of the world in Philippi, and they don't have internet, they don't have Snapchat, they don't have Instagram. How can they possibly? It's the partnership. It's the investment. The fact that Paul is writing this letter, we're going to find out later. You've already read this letter, I'm sure. But you, if you haven't, read it, you know, because we're going to be reading. We're going to be studying from it for the next several weeks. But Paul is writing this letter, and someone has to deliver it. I mean, they didn't have the postal service, and there's no UPS trucks, and there was no Amazon. I mean, you know, oh my gosh, life was just terrible. I can't imagine it, you know. And there's no Prime, no Amazon Prime. I mean, you can't get it overnight. But somebody had to deliver this letter, and that somebody was someone from their church, was someone from their body, along with Timothy. Timothy and Epaphroditus, that's a great name. Say it with me, Epaphroditus. Okay, yeah, we're going to learn that name. But Timothy and Epaphroditus are going to deliver this letter to the church in Philippi. And it's a reminder that, hey, you've been in partnership with me. You even sent one of your church folks, one of your part of your body of Christ. He gave up and came here and invested in me. You're part of the partnership. Listen, the only way that we exist as a church is your partnership in the gospel. You know what? We need lots more candy to make an impression on the folks at the community center when we show up on that last, on October 31st when they're having that event. We want the Oak Grove Fire Department to use our parking lot, and we want to, I now I'm like, why didn't we do something else? I mean, Adam and I are going to work on that, because the idea is create a relationship with the people that are there. Why? Because they care about this community. They're all volunteers, I think, for the most part, right? Most of them are all volunteers. And so they're working in our community. They're protecting us. And I know everybody's got their idea about volunteer fire department, but the reality is this. They're investing in our community. And you know what? And I've always discovered this. When you see something good, join that. Because if you join something good, you'll find the God in it, because God is good. And God's active in that. So we want to come along beside people in our community who are doing good things and bring and recognize that God is at work in that. Because God is always doing something good. He's always doing something good. And so Paul is saying, you've been part of this partnership. You've been part of this partnership. And here's the deal. So you and I are in partnership together. When you give on Sunday morning, your gift, your donation, your tithe, your offering, whatever it is you're giving, that gift, that's a way that we partner together as the body of Christ. And so no one's funding this except us. We are. We are funding this. There's where the money comes from, that sort of thing. But the partnership in the gospel is the idea that we're working together on the mission of Christ. And he says, look, I saw what God did in you. I was there in the beginning, how Christ moved in your heart. And I'm convinced, and I'm seeing the evidence of all of this, and it's bringing me great joy, because I'm seeing how the gospel is transforming your life, and you're part of it. And the progress and the partnership is bringing him joy, and it's bringing this. He says, and I'm confident of this, that he, who's he? Jesus. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is reminding us, listen, what God began in you, he's going to continue in you. God wants us to progress in our faith. And progress and partnership in the gospel brought him joy. When you and I are working together, when we're working together and becoming the people that God's called us to be, and it's transforming us, it's reshaping us, and we're recognizing that we're serving our community and loving people in the name of Christ, guess what happens? Progress and partnership brings us joy too. We're going to talk more about that. He goes on in verse 7. Let's read the next two verses, verse 7 and 8. He says this, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." You know, we read words like that way too fast. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you. There's that word, all of you again. All of you. Why? Why is it right for him to feel that way about all of you? This afternoon, after you take your nap, open up or watch whatever football game, during the halftime, whatever, DVR it, and then you can save a lot of time. But anyway, Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, you can read the story of how Paul showed up in Philippi, and he met a woman, her name was Lydia, who was a dealer in purple. And he went down by the riverside and met her because he was looking for a place to pray. and to teach people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And he met there, and he met Lydia, and he shared with her the gospel. And Lydia said, hey, if you count me worthy to be part of the gospel story, come home. Come home. Let me feed you. Let me take care of you as you do the work that you're doing in this community. Let me care for you in my household. And he stayed there, and he ended up in prison there. That was the story a few weeks ago when I had the kids down front, and we were talking about Paul and Silas in jail. They had been beaten and whipped, but they were jailed, and they were thrown into jail. They were in prison. They were, but they weren't broken. And they raised a hallelujah, and they praised God. See, these are the people that, this church that he's writing a letter to, the jailer and his family probably worship together with these folks. This is the same jailer who he led to the Lord, Jesus Christ. He gave him the good news of the gospel. This is the same jailer who bandaged his wounds and took good care of him, who fed him a meal, who looked. These are people he cared and loved and invested with. This is a picture, in my mind, of how people partner together with the gospel. It's that we get together and we decide, look, we're going to do this together as the body of Christ. And we're going to put down our agendas. We're going to set aside our agendas and do what God has called us to do. He's saying, you did this, and it's right for me to feel this way because you demonstrated the power of the unity of Christ, the power of the mission of Christ. You lived it out, and he's calling this church. He's reminding them, it is right for me to feel this way since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, it doesn't matter what the situation is, all of you share in God's grace with me. There's, again, that sense of all of you are sharing in God's grace with me. We're part of the movement of God's grace in this community together. God's grace wants to impact this community. Why? Because God loves Oak Grove. God loves Christian County. God loves Fort Campbell. God even loves all those workers who are working over there so fast to build this gambling, whatever it's called, okay? The horse track. God loves them. He cares about them. Why? Because he's God. He made them. He made them in his image. Here's the deal. When grace is covering us and encouraging us, and we're focused on the whole idea that grace is active in us, grace will unify and unite us. Grace becomes the clothing that we wear. Grace becomes the fountain that's within us, that's pouring up, bringing just energy that we need in order to do the things that God's called us to do. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And then verse 9, let's look at this. And this is my prayer. This has been my prayer this past week too. This has been my prayer for you. This is a prayer that I also shared. Several of you are on this text messaging prayer thing that we're doing together. As we're praying for each other and praying for the body of Christ, you got this prayer at some point this week, I'm pretty certain. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. That it just grows. You know, that it grows and continues to well up within us. And you know, I think what Paul's saying is, I want the love to abound more and more within you so that it pours out of you. We were talking in our Sunday school class this morning about the fact that sometimes our first response is not the best response. Anybody else got that problem? Sometimes we just say what's on our mind, bam, it's right there. And Jesus said what? What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. He says, because out of the man comes the overflow of the heart. And if our heart is filled with love more and more, that your love would abound more and more, filled with love, it's going to have an impact on the way we talk and the way we respond. And that's the idea of grace transforming us and creating in us a new person, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight. Knowledge is the idea of information. And here's the problem. Here's the reality. The Bible is great. There's great information here. But the Bible was not preserved. The Bible is not given to us by the Holy Spirit in order to just give you information so that you would be good in the game of Trivial Pursuit, or that you would be good in, at Jeopardy when this particular topic came up. It's not about information. It's about transformation, that you would grow more and more in knowledge and depths of insight. The idea of transformation, and also it's also about information transformation, it's the idea of creating in you this idea that you would understand what to do. You and I have the Holy Spirit living in us. If you're a Christ follower, the Holy Spirit is living in you. He can encourage you and direct you that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern. You may be able to think it through and discern. This is the best thing to do. What's the best thing I can do in order to serve this person and to show them the love of Christ and demonstrate that the love of Christ is growing in me more and more? How is the best way I can serve them so that I may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness? You know, it is Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his has paid the price for our sins, and he has given us his righteousness. And so the idea, and we call that grace because it's undeserved favor. And that grace is living in us. And Paul talks about the fruit of righteousness. It's the idea, is the work of God in you impacting the work of God through you? The work of God in you, is it impacting the way it's coming out? And that comes through all of this. Now, it's interesting, as we've walked through this, recognize I've kind of skipped something, and some of you have already picked this up. Because when we read through the whole passage, we didn't read through the whole passage at one time, but watch what happens when we look at the passage again, and we look at two words, Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy, servants of who? Christ Jesus. To all God's people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit. I should have highlighted that one. I missed that one, didn't I? Okay, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. This whole beginning, these first 11 verses, everything that's packed in there, everything here is held together by the word Jesus Christ. It is anchored in Christ. Why? Because everything is fulfilled in Christ. Earlier we were talking about facing battles, and this is how we fight our battles. We're going to praise God. We're going to pray to God. Why? Because we're already victorious in Christ. God has already given us the victory. This has all been anchored in Christ, the grace of Christ, the love of Christ. Everything that God wants to accomplish is being fulfilled in Christ, who did what? He humbled himself. Why did he do that? Why did he humble himself? He did it so that we might have unity with God. We were separated from God. Sin separates us from God. It's broken the relationship, and we couldn't have a relationship except for that Jesus Christ stood in the gap, and he took the punishment for our sins. And by doing that, he created a way for us to have a relationship with God. He humbled himself so that we could have a relationship and unity with God. He also did this so that we could be in partnership with God. Now think about that. I'm a CPA. Some of you know that. But think about that. You have a partnership with God. How's that going to work out? Did you hear me? You have a partnership with God. How's that going to work out? I think it's going to work out good. Okay? Now, if my part, name anybody else, and then there's a question about, I got to think about their character, I got to think about their abilities, everything else. But if my partnership is with God, the battle's won.
Whatever it is, whatever you're facing, whatever this body of Christ is facing, guess what? Our partnership is not with some lowlife. Our partnership is not with some has-been. Our partnership is with the Son of God. Our partnership is with the Holy Spirit living in us in power, who has power to do what? Raise people from the dead. And there are some people who are dead and need to be raised. Would you agree? They're spiritually dead, they're empty, and maybe there's some deadness in your own home. Guess what? If you have partnership with God, that means there can be life, because God's word speaks life. The Holy Spirit says, the Bible says, Paul writing to Timothy says, all of Scripture is breathed, God breathed. And here's how the whole planet came into being. All of creation came into being. What happened? God spoke. If you have a partnership with God, guess what? That's good news. In the accounting world, we have partnerships and limited partnerships. You talk about a limited partner. You got to have one general partner, and they're responsible for everything. Guess what? Our general partner is Jesus Christ. If you have partnership with God, guess what? It's gonna happen. Now, there's something that depends upon us. Because of what Christ did, we can have unity with one another. Because we're going to follow his example. If it's anchored in Christ and fulfilled in Christ, so that in all of our relationships with one another, we would display what? The power of God. When I am willing to set aside my agenda and seek God's agenda, and when I'm caring about you more than I'm caring about me, it demonstrates the power of God. Why? Because people don't do that. People don't act that way. People are looking out for them. They're looking out for, I want to get the best. Oh, wait, I got to get the best deal. But when the power of God is in you and you're transforming your life, the good news of God's love is demonstrated. What? In Christ's death and resurrection, but also in our transformation. The work of grace. Grace unifies us and unites us. Progress and partnership will bring us joy. And that's the reality, what Paul's teaching in this first part. There's a lot of other stuff there, but I want to focus just in on that. And then he says this. All of this to the glory and praise of God. Now, if you remember last week, if you just turn the page in your Bible or maybe flip down or however you do your app, look over in chapter 2 in verse 11. It says, in every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, Jesus humbled himself and was exalted by God. He did all of this to bring glory to God the Father. Paul is saying in the first part of this letter, listen, when you and I allow the body of Christ to be unified in the mission, so when we allow the grace to have its transformation in us, when we allow God's word to be displayed in the way we love one another, we glorify God the Father. We bring glory to him. And people recognize it and they see it and they sense it. This week, today, I'm asking you. Jesus paid it all. He paid for everything. He paid the price. Come freely and have grace. But God has called us to allow grace to work in us and transform us. We're going to sing an old hymn. It's called Jesus Paid It All. You know the words, and I got a guitar playing in the background in just a minute, but we're going to sing this song together. And as we sing this song, I want to invite you to simply pray and say, God, I want to surrender my life to you. I'm not living this out. I want grace to demonstrate. I want grace to be to transform my life, to allow me to become the Christ follower that you're calling me to be. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing this song. God, thank you for your grace so much. And thank you for Paul's letter. Thank you that he loved this church so much that he wrote a letter. Thank you for the partnership that they demonstrated in the gospel and the way that they loved him by encouraging him and sending someone to them to take care of his needs and to encourage him and to bless him. And I thank you, God, that someone had the foresight to say, hey, we need to hold on to this letter so that we could read it today and be encouraged and recognize that we have a partnership with you. And that because of that partnership, we have victory in whatever it is we're facing. And it may not go the way we want it to, but we still have victory because the partnership we have is with Jesus Christ. And so, God, in all of our relationships, we know that you're calling us to become a slave of Jesus Christ. We know that you're calling us to serve others and to think about how can grace be best displayed in this relationship. God, you're calling us to be the body of Christ, united and unified as one on the mission of Christ because of what Jesus did and for people who are dying. The consequences of us not accomplishing what you want to accomplish through us is that people will die and go to hell. And that's forever. So God, you've called us to something that's way beyond our ability, but you're our partner and you can accomplish it. God, we just surrender to that right now. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand together and we're gonna just sing this song. Crimson stain, he was. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. They're going to receive the offering. You can go ahead and be seated. And as they're coming forward, let me pray. Or actually, I have one of the ushers who are going to pray. Thank you.
Ourselves before you, that we are servants and slaves for you, Lord, and that we greet each and every person and show grace to everyone that we know, even people that we feel may have wronged us in the past or hurt us, Lord, that we still show them grace, Lord, the same way that you've shown us grace each and every time that we sin against you, Lord. I just pray that you take these tithes and offerings, Lord, and use them to further your kingdom and to continue your kingdom, Lord. In the name we pray, amen.
As the ushers are receiving the offering, as the ushers are receiving the offering, I just want to remind you that, isn't she adorable? Yeah, little Yolanda, man, she's, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Well, hey, don't forget that. Yes, at the end of this month, we're going to be part of the community center in Oak Grove celebrating. I don't know if celebrating is the right word, but we're participating in the community. We want to
love people in the name of Christ. It's a way we can do that. Don't forget that this Wednesday night, there are no church activities. There's a kind of a fall break going on in the school system, so we're going to take advantage of that, give our Awana workers a well-needed little break in action. We'll be back on the schedule the following Wednesday night. Let's stand together and be dismissed in prayer, okay? God, thank you again for your grace. Thank you that you included us as part of the partnership. Thank you, God, that you counted us worthy to be part of it. You called us, and you chose us. And so it's incredible that you did that, and that's what grace is, undeserved favor, that you included us in the work that you want to accomplish. I pray, God, that we would be about that this week. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great rest.